Good afternoon, everyone. This is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. We are all co-creator gods in the making. That is the plan of the supreme creator of the universe. And I'll talk more about that later. And by the way, when we pray, try praying instead of to Mother God and Father God. Try praying to the creator of the universe, his herself, because the creator of the universe is both male and female. Try, if you will, if you have the courage, please try. The next time you pray to the creator of the universe. You know it's true. The universe was created. The creator of the universe will answer you probably louder and clearer than if you're praying to Father God or to Jesus or the Buddha or to Vishnu or whomever. Pray to the creator of the universe, and I guarantee you, you will hear something special. You'll be able to communicate better with the creator of the universe. I can, and I do hear the words, and the creator of the universe, you might think, is so mighty that she doesn't have time to talk with us, and that's just not true, because we are all related to the creator, God, if you will. And using the word creator is better than using the word God, I think. More specific, more relevant. When you're talking, God is used so often that sometimes our prayers are just too repetitive and not having any emotion or meaning. But when you pray to the creator who created all creation, then you're praying to an entity that created this world or assisted in creating it, the galaxy was out there. And it's just waiting for you to try to communicate with him or her. And it is amazing what you will find out. And tonight's a very special night because it's another one of those, go outside and look up at the stars and realize that we are part of a universal brotherhood and a sisterhood too. Male and female. The universe is both male and female. There's no denying that. There's no refuting that. There's no rationale that would support anything else. So we can only, therefore, assume that the creator is both male and female, and the co-creators like ourselves are male and female. And you have to understand the existence of universal law and cosmic forces out there, which can be put into motion by using the right words. Just like it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word. Well, it's true. If you know how to use the right words, speak them in synchronicity with your soulmate, with your other half, during that merging of spirits, things are created, whether it's spirit children, their souls and spirits, or matter, planets, moons, suns even. And I just wanted to say that today I'm going to read a little bit from a book which is called Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. And this is an amazing book. If you really want to know what heaven is like, read this book. You can actually find a PDF on the internet. Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. Now, some people, they don't want to know. They don't want to know the truth. They're satisfied with their situation. Some people aren't developing themselves spiritually, and they should be. And you'll find out one day that if, hopefully, you'll find out before you cross over to the other side, into the spirit land, that really the main purpose of us being here is to develop ourselves spiritually. And this book is an excellent way to do it. And I will read from this book. It's about a man who had some communication with a spirit, if you will, who showed up and related. I don't know exactly how, but he was able to talk to him and tell him what heaven was like. Maybe in the same way the Bible was written. You know, they say that God divinely inspired the scriptures. In that same manner, the way God talked to the prophets and the, what are they called? The disciples, we know about them, but the, you know, Jonah, Daniel, Abraham, the patriarchs of the Bible, that's the word I was searching for, patriarchs. They were spoken to by the Creator, and then they put into words what they thought God was telling them. And much in that same way, then, the inspiration, the word came from this individual spirit by the name of Seneca Sodi, S-E-N-E-C-A-S-O-D-I, to the author, who is Dr. Elwood Scott, is the author. The book, again, is Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. You won't find too many books out there that will give you a better idea of what to expect when you get inside. And that makes good sense to me. How about you? So let me tell you a few things before that, before I start reading about what's going on in my life. I'm very disappointed. Over the last 2 days, our beautiful cat, Simba, who has lived with us now for almost 10 years, a rescue, black and white, beautiful cat. In my mind's eye, I can see his beautiful eyes looking up at me, just so beautiful and yellow. And he was always purring around my ankles when I was about to feed him. And he'd come and lay outside here in the patio with me and sleep, and upstairs in my laundry basket and sleep. And he was a roamer, you know. He would roam around the neighborhood, always going out. He wasn't an indoors cat. He was an outdoors cat. Of course, with that comes risks, like other cats getting into fights with other cats or stray dogs possibly attacking him, or coyotes even, which are behind our backyard. We can hear them all the time. Or cars on the street getting hit by a car. That's always a risk. So he's been gone for a couple of days, and my heart is saddened, but we're hoping that he might be in someone else's house around our neighborhood. And we'll see what happens. So we lost another cat before called Ninja Kitty. Very beautiful little cat. He wasn't too old when he did, maybe not even a year. And one day he was gone and he never came back. And we think maybe a big bird. There's some big owls around here which could pick off a cat like walking on the fence. The fences around here in our yard and other neighbors' yards. What, Gody? Are you coming out? Come on, then. No? Thank you very much. That's right. I'm having my show. Thank you. So one of our dogs was thinking about walking out here, but she's a very smart dog. Her name is Goldie. She's an American Pit Bull Terrier, I think. She might have wanted to use the facilities, you know, use the backyard, but apparently she went back in, and I don't know. My wife opened the door. So anyway, Simba posted a message in the Nextdoor app, and I'm not sure if anybody knows where Simba is. So my heart is saddened that he might be gone. I'm hopeful that he will return. But I do know one thing, and I've got to tell you about this video on YouTube that I recommend everyone to watch. About a near-death experience of a man. And one of the things that he was told right at the end, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it here in just a second, but the bottom line that this incredible spirit, who was brilliant, his face was so lighted up that he couldn't make out the features. That's how much light was coming out of his face. And he said, it's important that you, he said, to this man who had the near-death experience. It's important that you tell everybody on earth that there is no death. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's just a crossing over to the other side. You still keep many of your physical characteristics, your form, but you're in spirit. You're not in the physical realm anymore. You don't have a physical body, physical senses, but you have spirit senses, which are very similar. Sight, hearing, touch, smell. All of those are carried over, and they're more acute. They are more heightened. There's a heightened sense, a more heightened sense of awareness with the spirit senses. And so that message again is, of course, we don't want to die. You know, every day on earth here is a gift of life, beautiful gift of life. You know, we're all alive. I remember a song I listened to recently. It's a trance music. You ever heard of trance music before? I love trance music. My favorite artist is Paul Van Dyk. He's German, and he's one of the kings of trance music. And one of his songs, there's a female vocalist in the background singing, "We're alive. We're alive." Yes, we're alive, my friends. And you are. Isn't that amazing? People are dying all the time. Day on earth, there's like 40,000 people dying each day from different ways, as you know. Point is, we should not only be grateful, but use our time wisely and revere each day, respect each day as a gift from the Creator to be here in this cool learning, if you will, this university of the universe. Our planet is a very beautiful planet, right? All the life here. There's such a variety of life. And logically, if all this life happened by accident, it could happen by accident elsewhere. But if a Creator made all this life, then it's logical to think that the Creator, if he could create all these millions of types of bodies, that he could create the same bodies or even different bodies anywhere in the universe, you know? It's logical. So in that near-death experience by the man, if you just go into YouTube and type in near-death experience and just look around, this man, it's kind of funny how he died. He was dead for 7 minutes. He was riding a moped. He turned around the corner. There was a squirrel right in the middle of the road. He swerved to avoid the squirrel, hit a tree, fell off the bike, and injured his right hand. I think he ripped some tendons in his right hand. So he went into surgery to repair it. And apparently he was allergic to some of the anesthesia, and his heart stopped. And he was dead for 7 minutes. And he said that he went through a tunnel, which is the usual, one of the typical, what are they called, points of near-death experience, aspects of a near-death experience. And he went to this light, the end of the tunnel, another aspect, the light in the distance, and found himself in this beautiful building made out of marble. And there was two people behind a table, two spirits behind a table. And they basically told him something like, "You died, and you're going to get a little tour of heaven. And then you'll be sent back." I believe that's what they told him. I can't remember everything. But he looked around, and there were some doors, and apparently there were, in these doors, there were other tunnels that led to this door. And he said in one tunnel, and by these doors there were also other tables, which were manned by other spirits, a male and female, two males, two females. And he saw this old man that showed up in his 80s or 90s, and he had had a heart attack because he was old, you know, in his late 80s or early 90s. And so his spirit guide, the man who was dead for 7 minutes, told him as he was standing there watching, he said, "Now watch this. Look at the old man when he's talking." He sat down and talked with the two spirits at the table. "Watch closely what happens to him." And apparently, as he was engaged in conversation with the two spirits at the table, something very incredible happened. He went from that old-looking mode of being in his 80s or 90s to a young man in his 30s, about 30-year-old mold. And it was an immediate transformation, which is what happens when we get to heaven. If we're older, we automatically revert back to the age 30 mold. Or if you're young, and if you're a new soul, apparently from the way I understand it, if you don't have any previous lives, then you have to grow there in heaven, which is what we do when we get to heaven. There's activities and opportunities to grow all the time. It's not a stagnant place where we sit around and do nothing. We're moving around like we are now, but in the spirit. Anyway, he was just astounded by what he saw, this old man being transformed into a young man right in front of his eyes. But more than that, he said he was shown around some more. And these buildings, he said they looked like the Supreme Court Justice Building. The Supreme Court Justice's building in Washington, D.C., with the columns and the Roman kind of architecture. And in one building, apparently, there's a place where you can go in the building. These other buildings, you can go there to look at your previous lifetimes. And that's amazing, you know, because some of us have other lives that we've lived. Let me let this, one of our dogs just came in. So you can go with like a movie, if you will, where you could sit down and relax and look at all the previous lives you've had. When you come here to Earth, you don't remember because you go through what they call the River of Oblivion, where all your past life memories are erased, because this world is a very specific learning environment and you're not meant to remember all of your past lives because it could interfere with your mission here on Earth. And we are all on missions. We all have plans. We plan everything in advance, and that's also what they told me. Everything in your life is planned in advance. Every detail. Your parents, the friends that you have, animals that you have, accidents that may happen in your lifetime, your physical characteristics, things that happen during your life, everything's planned. Yet the objective, my friends, is to follow that plan as closely as possible and not get sidetracked. That's why some people think there's a devil, which is nonsense, really, because the devil was created by the Creator, who has power over the devil and could destroy the devil if God wanted to, but God doesn't, because the devil works. Archangel Lucifer is the devil, and Archangel Lucifer is an archangel, and so is under the command of God, and God has power over the angels, and the angels do God's binding. And God created the angels perfectly, with no mistakes or imperfections where they might do something which God hadn't foreseen in advance, if you know what I mean. And just like Archangel Michael was in charge of the angels, that's his duty, his responsibility. Archangel Lucifer is in charge of the demons and the bad spirits in hell, which is God's jail, which some people actually go to, the really bad people. And you know there are really bad people in the world, right? So these demons and bad spirits, they have a calling, if you will, and that is to keep us on our, and also regular angels too, ordinary angels, to keep us on our mission, our path that we're supposed to be following, just like we had pre-planned, you know, in the past, in our pre-existence, before we were born on earth, right? And another thing he was told, this man was told, was planet Earth is one of the hardest schools of learning in the universe. It is extremely difficult. And so all the souls that come here, that are born into this world, are a very brave and courageous type. So give yourself a pat in the back, my friends out there listening. You are a very brave soul to have come here to Earth. And yes, you did choose to come here. You just don't remember. But there will be a remembering when you cross over to the spirit lands. Everything will come back to them. And then another thing this man was shown was, you can go into another building, Roman Greco architecture, in that type, if you can imagine that, if you will. Beautiful marble buildings. Marble, they use marble a lot in heaven. And also, you know, you've heard it before, gold, golden streets. There's a lot of gold everywhere. This is a beautiful substance, right? Silver, there's also a lot of silver. Imagine that. Silver everywhere. Beautiful silver. And then precious stones everywhere. In the walls of the city. And pearl also. The pearly gates are real. You'll find out. If you don't believe me, you'll find out. We all eventually will get to where we need to go. Some people, now I'm not 100% sure about this, but there's a theory that suggests that really there's no hell, and if we, when we die, we'll just be counseled, you know, because we went down a wrong path, our parents were unkind to us. From the day we were born, they weren't very loving, you know. Even a simple task like changing the diapers of a baby can influence the way a baby acts in the years to come, you know. It's all about love, how you do things. When I used to change my son's diapers, I would just be enthralled, if you will, about what I was doing. The opportunity to watch this baby grow. And I thought it was a very beautiful, you know, all the bodily fluids didn't bother me too much. You know, I just saw that it was reality. But this beautiful baby, and I was looking at his face, was changing his diapers and how happy he was. But not all babies are treated the same way. And then maybe their parents continue to abuse them as they grow older. And then their friends, they don't have any friends or very few friends. And then their peers make fun of them. They go to school. You know, I was listening to that song by Pink Floyd today. We don't need no education. No dark sarcasms in the classroom. Teacher, hey, teacher, leave those kids alone. And the teachers sometimes, they shape us in their ways, you know, with their education, you know, educating us. And so a person is shaped and molded as they grow up by all these different factors. And take someone like Hitler, you know. Perhaps he was sexually abused as a child and wasn't given a lot of love, you know. It's as simple as that. So can we really judge those people not knowing about their background? No, we can't. The Creator can, Mother and Father God, who created their soul and spirit, can. They know. They're watching all the time. They're getting reports from angels who are around us, as you know. We just can't see them because they operate in the spirit realms in the fourth dimension, you know, outside of the third dimension. And so the Creator knows, and each and every person has at least one angel and a spirit guide. Imagine, I was thinking the other day, and that would be a hard task, you know, a hard duty to be a spirit guide to someone. You would have to spend the whole lifetime helping that person out, trying to guide them to stay on their path, to perform their mission as they had planned. And so there are forces, unseen forces, which are trying to help us keep our path and perform our mission. Why? Because it's all about evolution, my friends, you know, being born on Earth. There's another planet. And as I was saying, there is a place in the spirit lands which this man who had the near-death experience and died for 7 minutes saw that there is a place where you can go where you can see all the different planets in the universe where you might want to reincarnate on. And for the people that think reincarnation isn't real, that it's not true, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're just so, so very wrong. But you know it. You'll find out. Hope I put that in a nice way without offending you. I guess the bottom line is everyone's entitled to their own opinion, you know. But the truth will be revealed to all of us one day, my friends. And indeed, in this world, in a lower evolution, in a planet of a lower evolutionary category, one of the things that we see happening a lot is distortion, misrepresentation of truth, lies, if you will, going on all the time. People not caring about knowing the truth. People not being able to handle the truth. People not knowing the truth, period. And so it goes on and on, but we're making progress, you know. Like now, I was listening to CNN today. Mr. Trump, you know, is trying to be reinstated as president. And me, I'm a very logical person, always have been. And I did vote for him. I thought that he was a good man, and still is a good man. I thought he'd been treated very unfairly by some people, let's just put it that way, who impeached him twice, I thought, for not valid reasons, without getting into that. I thought that he was a very good man and had a great sense of humor. He was trying to do his best. He didn't have any ulterior motives, you know, like money. He had enough money as it was. He was just trying to make a name for himself in the history of the United States to go down as a good president. You know, I think that's probably the goal of anybody who becomes president, is to make a legacy for his or herself, you know, and maybe have their face sculptured on the Mount Rushmore, you know, like those other great presidents, Lincoln and George Washington. I forget who the others are. Roosevelt, I think, is one of them. I think that's what they all want. And it's not easy when you encounter resistance all the way from the moment that you get in, when people are trying to tell you, taking a drink of water, that they want to impeach you from the moment that you are sworn in as president. I'm like thinking to myself, what? come on now, give the man a chance. But no, that's the way, that's the nature of the competitiveness between the Republicans and the Democrats. So I voted for him. I voted for Hillary back in 2016. But now there's this feeling that the election was stolen. And it's been now 7 months, right? Where's the evidence? You know, being a logical person, I say, show me the evidence. There is no evidence, not that I know of, but it has been settled at many state levels. You know, there were investigations that happened. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court kicked it back, and you would have thought that perhaps the Supreme Court would have sided with Mr. Trump because he got three Supreme Court justices sworn in during his tenure, right? And you thought maybe if there was anything they could do to help him, they would have, because he got them sworn in. You know, it was thanks to him. They're now Supreme Court justices. But they didn't rule in his favor because, why? There was no evidence. So why are they going on with this? It doesn't make any sense to me. It's beginning to sound like some of them have a fifth grader mentality, you know. And I think they need to wake up and get on with bigger and better things, like preparing whoever's going to represent the Republicans in 2024. They need to find a superstar and begin grooming him or her to run for the president. But I think what's going on is the members of Congress who are Trump supporters are intimidated by Mr. Trump. Either they're afraid they're not going to get any money from him, or he's going to take money away from them, or he might have them hurt in some way, assassinated even. And it's beginning to look like God forbid, but beginning to look like more and more like a dictatorship, you know, which we're always talking about other countries shouldn't be that way, you know, that we don't like dictatorships and communism. And now it seems like there's a possibility of that developing in the United States, which is definitely not in accordance with what our founding fathers envisioned, you know. We're supposed to be all about freedom and democracy, but instead, we might be going down the wrong path here, you know, thinking that the election was stolen. It's like a child with a, I can't think of a good example, but you take something away, or maybe they steal something, and then you ask them, why did they steal it? And they just give an answer that's totally irrational, illogical. What's going on here? You know, I would, you know, if there was some evidence, I sure would like to see it. Are they holding it? You know, or when are they going to, something we don't know that they could share with us? Is it a secret? Well, you know, in the meantime, it's taking our focus away of doing bigger and better things for our country and the world. You know, with the Republicans and Democrats, I wish they could get on the same page of music. You know, you've got the two big differences I see with these parties is that one believes in abortion and the other one doesn't. And one believes in the environment and the other one doesn't. Which is the more important of the two, of those differences, big differences? I think the environment is more important than abortion. Republicans will say, you know, pro-life instead of pro-choice. But I think women, having been a minority for all these years and still around the world in places today, they're treated worse than dogs. And you know that's true. And they've only begun to get their rights. They weren't even allowed to vote about 100 years ago. So I think in the evolution of the women, of women here on Earth, what is the better solution is to let them choose, give them more responsibility, greater leadership. That's why we need a woman president. That's why I was glad, even though I voted for Mr. Trump, I was still happy that Kamala Harris was sworn in as our new vice president. And I think that's great. I wish Hillary could have won. And if you want to talk about the election being stolen, I don't have any bias or any discrimination, any prejudice either way towards Mr. Trump or Hillary Clinton, if you know what I mean. It's over and done with, but I do know, and you can pull it up on YouTube, ask Hillary if she thought the election was stolen. She'll say something like, yes, I think so. I don't know how it happened. I was leading. I was ahead in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and all of a sudden, right at the end there, Mr. Trump overtook me, and it was very uncanny how that happened, and Mr. Trump, having won those three states, kind of pushed him over the edge, and so then he beat Hillary in the election. So she can say that the election was stolen from her, but she didn't. She accepted it and drove on, and now he's, Mr. Trump, he's got this kind of personality where he's obsessive compulsive, for one thing, and he's fanatical, too. And you do him a wrong, if you wrong him, and you can check this out on the internet, people who were not loyal to him or didn't seem to be loyal to him, the ones that worked in the White House, they were gone in an instant. So he's that kind of, he's like a not very tolerant, not forgiving kind of person. I still love him and respect him as a human being. You know, we all should do that. I saw a t-shirt the other, was it today? I was shopping at the grocery store. And it said, be a nice human being. Be a nice human being, my friends. You know, that's really significant, actually. You know, that thought in and of itself, we can be nicer human beings. And I saw another t-shirt that said, being Asian isn't a virus. Racism is the virus. What do you think about that? You know, all these Asians that are being hurt, beaten up because we're blaming China for the virus. Well, we don't know for sure, right? Where's the proof? Where's the smoking gun evidence? Just like with the election being stolen. Where is the evidence? Where's the smoking gun evidence? We don't know that the Chinese actually developed this virus in a lab and it got out either accidentally or intentionally. And we don't really know if it came from Wuhan, you know, because someone was eating bat soup. We haven't proven that in the court of world opinion, you know, so we can't make accusations falsely. We can't judge people without facts and figures, you know, right? Isn't that logical? So it's all about discrimination, treating people equally, to include women and people of different color. You know, it's all amazing to how we've been through this in our past, even from the days of the Egyptians 5,000 years ago. The pyramids. I was thinking, my time is running out here. I was going to read a little bit for you. Let me see how I'm doing on time. Wow, only 20 minutes left. So I was talking with my wife the other day. I said, they want proof that extraterrestrials exist. You know, getting to see it more and more on television nowadays. The mainstream media is paying more notice to UFOs and the Pentagon revealing of some videos involving what are they called now? They're not UFOs, they're unexplained aerial phenomena or something like that, UAPs. And I'm like, come on. You're at step one, step two, maybe. I'm already at step 12, 13, 14, 15, in knowing that there's life out there, that, you know, there are civilizations that have been in existence millions of more years than we have, because the universe is an extremely large place. Agree? And the Big Bang started it all, right? Agreed. And one solar system was formed after another. Agreed. So when that first solar system was formed, do you think that wouldn't have been part of the plan to put life on that, in that first solar system, on a planet or two or three or four? Or was God going to wait millions of light years down the road to a distant planet on a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy and say, I'm going to put life right there. That's where it's all going to begin. And everything's going to revolve around that planet. No, guess what? Copernicus said, our planet revolves around the center of the universe. Oh, it's amazing to me how people thought, people like you and me, thought way back then, who are alive, just like we are today. We're alive. Who lived back then around 1500, you know, 1400, they thought, people walking up and down the street on horses or horse buggies, and, you know, with their hats and clothes of that era, you know, they thought that everything revolved around the world, and the world didn't revolve around the universe. But Copernicus pointed them in the right direction, and eventually they got it. And now we don't know there's life out there, and it's the same thing. We need to jump on board the train where the universe is actually teeming with life, my friend. There's life out there. Einstein knew it because he was a very brilliant man. So wouldn't you want to emulate someone like Einstein and be very intelligent and say, well, I know there's life. I don't believe there's life out there. I know it. Because the evidence, the pyramids weren't made by slaves with logs and rope, and they were cut so cleanly and with excellent precision, you know, put on top of each other, these 50-ton rocks up to a height of about 600 feet, looking perfectly, not all sloppy and stuff, you know. Well, the fact is, as I know, that they were visited by extraterrestrial civilizations, perhaps the one with dog heads, right? There's a lot of different looking beings out there for sure, because the creator of the universe is very imaginative and creative in his her own way. The sky's the limit when you can think about the different types of ETs that are out there, my friend. And today I was humming a song by Coldplay called Sky Full of Stars. And indeed, the sky is full of stars, even in the daytime, you know. Well, we, besides our own day star, our sun, which is a main sequence G2 white dwarf star. But if you can look at our sun, and the next time you go outside and look at the evening sky and the stars up there, just think of how our sun would look from maybe a few light years away, or even farther, you know, 100,000 light years away. Our sun is just like those other ones out there. Look up my website in BBS Radio and Blake Ruby, and you'll see. I put different sized suns there all the way up to the huge sun of our solar system. The point being that when you look up in the evening sky, those are suns. Call them stars also, that's okay. But also suns. And the farther they are away, the smaller they are. The closer they are, the bigger they are. When you get into the atmosphere of outer space, then all of a sudden, I mean, when you get into outer space and away from the confines of our atmosphere, then everything really jumps out into clear definition, you know, and the stars look so much bigger and more brilliant. Amazing. So check out that song by Coldplay, Sky Full of Stars. It's a beautiful song. And we see them. We see them out there, and they know we're here too, okay? There's a lot of extraterrestrial civilizations out there, I know, who have actively been involved with visiting and or are still visiting our world at this time. Some are entrusted with the guardianship of our planet to help us through our evolutionary problems, if you will, you know, to help where they can in certain situations. But universal law dictates that you can only give a civilization going through the evolutionary process so much assistance. You can't hand them things on a silver platter, so to speak. You have to, you give them help here and there, but basically we have to do it for ourselves, because that's the right way. That's not only universal law, but I mean, you can teach people how to fish instead of giving them fish, right? You know what I mean? Same principle. Don't just give them the fish. Teach them how to fish. Same thing. These ETs are out there and they're helping us to fish. My my computer keeps going on and off here. I'm losing connection. So maybe I won't read. Let me see if I can connect back. I do have about eight more minutes. I got to log on here. So that book again that I was telling you about, it's called Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. If you want to develop yourself spiritually, like you should, like we all should, we're supposed to, that is the best book, I think, one of the best, that talks about heaven, the place where we're going when we cross over to the other side, if you know what I mean. Meet you on the other side. One day, my friends, meet you on the other side. One day, my friends. In the meantime, let's enjoy the ride, shall we? It's great to have all these pleasures and freedoms of a lifetime. Just to get into a car and drive down the road is so much fun. I love that. You know, the air conditioning, the windows open sometimes, and listening to music, your favorite music on your stereo. And it's a dangerous place, too, you know. And this life is a series of risks and undertakings, you know, where we might, that might not turn out to our, in our favor, you know, like my cat. I don't know what happened. Maybe he's locked up in someone's neighbor's house. That's what we're hoping. Anyway, so I've got a few minutes. Let me just read from this book, Paradise in the Holy City and the Glory of the Throne. And he's talking with, let me go on down here, the splendors of the throne. Okay, he's made his way to the throne room. So let's start right there. Huh? That's pretty good. I got about 6 minutes. Beyond all my power of description are the splendors of the throne itself. As we approach nearer the center of the great city and to the region of the Father's throne and Mother's throne, mighty waves of light and glory came constantly rolling over us. Let's take a drink of water. Don't forget that. When you get there and you're on your way to the throne, light will roll over you so powerfully that if you're not sufficiently developed spiritually and evolved, you won't be able to withstand it. So, hello, you gotta prepare now for that, okay? Read this book, that will help you prepare. And with them came such refreshing baths of love, peace, and joy that our gladness was indescribable, having reached a degree of perfection never known before. The noiseless chariots were moving in all directions. Yes, there are chariots in heaven, which are usually manned by angels. Countless throngs of happy spirits, everyone's joyful, clothed in the purest garments, yes, white robes, pure white, beautiful white, and the expression of every face being that of the serenest peace and composure of soul we're moving toward and from the throne. Vast numbers like ourselves were approaching the throne for the first time, many of whom had been within the compass of the majestic long time in the city's wall. But the entire satisfaction with all the surroundings and the perfect contentment of soul made them linger long at each new object with which they came into contact. Understandable, right? It was well for them that they did, for the glory of the throne, which excelleth all else, would be too great for them, like I was saying. You know, the glory and brilliance, that light is so powerful, it's like a hurricane force wind, to compare it with something, you know. I saw many who, on account of the majesty and glory and light, were so overcome that it reminded me much of the experience of many on earth during great revival seasons, whose spiritual perceptions were greater than their nervous powers to endure. I explained it pretty clearly, right? Hence, there followed prostrations, trances, fainting, shoutings, and kindred experiences. I found even in heaven that there was a development and growth of the powers of the soul even to an endless perfection, and a strength of mental capacity unknown on earth, or even at the first entrance into the heavenly state. Yes, endless perfection, and still while approaching, yet never could reach the perfection of God. The majesty of the throne is indeed beyond description. Beautiful, my friend. Notwithstanding we had been graciously prepared for it, yet we were so overawed at our surroundings and the sight before us that we did not know what to say or even think. Comparisons with earthly scenes, the richest and grandest or the greatest works of man, would give but a faint idea. Even human language itself is too tame to tell the story. The memories of childhood experiences were constantly rushing through our minds, so that I said to myself again and again, is this only a dream, or is it real? Have I seen a vision, or am I really in heaven? No dream ever came to me on earth like this. No grandeur ever equaled it. No dream of glory so enchanting. We had been standing spellbound a long time when a man whose face was beaming with a halo of light came to us. He seemed to realize our situation and said, dear brethren, have you just come to the throne for the first time? As he came near us and spoke, we thought we recognized him. But having met so many in such a short time, we were not sure that he was of those in the chariot. Indeed, I replied, we have been for quite a little time within the city, but have been detained with so many things and wonderful scenes that we could not reach the throne earlier. You have been wise, said our friend, who was interesting himself in us. For even now you are none too well prepared for the great things which are just before you. If you would like to have me, I will accompany you for just a little while in your introduction to this most blessed and exalted place in our father and mother's house. We would be much pleased to have you do so, for we are much in ignorance as to what is before us. I turned to Bohemond and said, how fortunate to have such company and assistance. And yet we knew that in our mother's and father's house, with as many mansions, we need have no fears, for our needs will be met at the right time. At this he brought us to a sparkling fountain, not far from one of the great entrances to the throne, and with a golden goblet gave us a drink. Then he went a little distance to a mammoth tree whose branches were everywhere hanging low and brought us each a cluster of its fruit. When we had eaten it, he pronounced the blessing upon us and suddenly our eyes and minds were prepared for the greatest glories to which a mortal man has ever been exalted, and to those scenes we will now turn our attention. And that's the end of that chapter, my friend. A little glimpse of heaven in that book, Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. I think, my friends, my time is just about over. Is that true, Don? Are you out there, Don? I will continue to talk until I'm told. Anyway, remember, please, my friends, go outside at the stars tonight and think of universal brotherhood and sisterhood. Think of other beings out there, just like us, human beings, different shapes and sizes, different levels of spiritual development, some so extremely intelligent that if we were in their presence, it'd be like being hit by an M1 tank. Do you know what I mean? Just incredibly beautiful, intelligent, humorous. Yes, because the Creator has a sense of humor, my friends, in case you didn't know that. These beings that are waiting to make contact with us are the definition of being cool. They are so cool that we would really love to be in their company. Once we get past that initial fear that we would feel, not understanding, you know, realizing that we should have known this before, having been earthbound in our thinking and not all the while realizing that they are out there. All these years gone by, wasted time when we could have made contact with them. We could have been star travelers now, my friends. They could have helped us cure all diseases, especially this recent virus, cancers, heart disease, all of those. They could teach us to heal, tell us what we're doing wrong, why they've happened. So look up at the stars tonight, my friends, in that love, the feeling of love for our beautiful planet, Josh? Made by
Creator. I don't know what's wrong. He's not hearing me.
Or, I should say, made by our mother and father God, who only applied the powers of the cosmos by speaking those words and our planet into existence and the other planets of our solar system, because the whole solar system belongs to our mother and father God, you see. And the sun is a world on fire. Well, my friends, I've got just a few seconds to say goodbye. I just realized that I didn't have my volume all the way up. I thought I did. Anyway, well, one final prayer, and that's it. May the Creator of the universe bless us, everybody. Talk to you next week. I love you. Bye-bye.